Hello and welcome to Editor's Picks, a special daily podcast brought to you by Nalin Mehta, the Managing Editor of Money Control. This is a specially curated podcast that brings together the best of the day's exclusives from the stock markets, from the corporate world, and the wider political economy from Money Control's 360-degree coverage. This voice has been generated using AI technology based on a voice clone of Money Control's Managing Editor, Nalin Mehta. The big question being asked in corporate corridors since Money Control's big Sunday news break on TCS's plans to lay off around 12,200 employees worldwide is, where will this big culling of India's IT workforce end? TCS is just the start, writes Debangana Ghosh. Other IT companies, she reports, are also expected to follow suit with a ripple effect. Expect more cost-cutting in the IT sector amid margin pressures and the AI push. A Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology official told Ehik Sur that the ministry is monitoring the TCS layoffs and urged industry and academia to refocus on skilling. For perspective on TCS itself, read R. Sriram's MC Pro brief on how the cost-cutting may address immediate challenges, but its revenues are estimated to decline or grow only marginally in FY26. On the wider impact of TCS's decision outside of the IT sector, check out Hamsini Karthik's piece on how the flurry of job cuts in Indian IT is also bad news for Indian banking. At a personal finance level, Hiral Thanawala looks at how employees can prepare themselves to manage their finances effectively during such difficult times. For the original Money Control exclusive on why TCS plans to cut 2% of its global workforce, read Debangana Ghosh, Rishabh Kishore and Chandra K. Srikanth's full interview with TCS CEO K. Krithivasan, where he describes the decision as the hardest he has ever made, but adds that it is not because of AI. This is the only interview the TCS CEO has given on this matter so far. Apple Inc. suppliers are choosing to invest in Tamil Nadu, attracted by the state's superior infrastructure, talent pool and governance, says TRB Raja, Tamil Nadu's Minister for Industries, Investment Promotion and Commerce. Speaking exclusively to Danish Khan, Raja pointed out that Samsung has reinvested 1,000 crore rupees in Tamil Nadu despite concerns over labor unrest and outlined the state's policy push to become an innovation-led economy. With India's festival calendar kicking off earlier, gig hiring is set to rise 15 to 20%. Ariman Gupta reports that retailers, e-commerce platforms and logistics providers have already started ramping up gig and temporary hiring, aiming at riding the festive wave ahead of Raksha Bandhan, Diwali and mega sale events. India Inc.'s June quarter earnings have thrown up a surprise. Profits have soared, but sales growth has slowed. A Money Control analysis of 350 companies that have reported earnings for the quarter shows that net sales rose by just 10.1% from a year earlier, the weakest growth in four quarters. In contrast, operating profit grew a robust 18.7% and net profit surged 34%. The divergence is because of better cost controls, easing input costs, and enhanced operational efficiencies. Yet, the demand side recovery remains patchy. A year after UBS and Credit Suisse merged, UBS says that it aims to be among the top players in the Indian market. Abhishek Joshi, head of ECM India for UBS, spoke to Hamsini Karthik. State-owned Canara Bank has identified 8 NPA accounts worth 4,000 crore rupees that the lender plans to transfer to National Asset Reconstruction Company Limited by the third quarter of the current financial year. Canara Bank's Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer K. Satyanarayan Raju spoke to Manish M. Suvarna on the lender's dues and next steps. India's biggest warehouse owner, Indospace, backed by Everstone Capital and the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, has hired Citi and Axis Capital to manage its $1 billion IPO, reports Swaraj Singh Dhanjal. The move comes as warehousing companies shift from invites to IPOs due to lower investor demand for the former. Indospace has developed over 60 million square feet of warehousing space in key industrial and metro cities. Things may soon become a bit easier for companies seeking to raise capital via public markets. SEBI has set up a panel to review the issue of capital and disclosure requirements regulations to make the regulations easier to comply with, remove ambiguities and address loopholes, reports Brajesh Kumar. The panel is expected to submit its findings by September. The ICDR regulations were last amended in 2018. The textile sector may soon see a simplification in its GST structure. A uniform 12% rate across the entire value chain, from cotton to garments, is under consideration and could be tabled in the September GST Council meet, writes Meghna Mittal. The proposal aims to correct the inverted duty structure and rationalize rates from cotton to garments, reducing compliance burden and attracting investments. On the global front, digital payments are set to get a boost. Adrija Chatterjee and Anand Jay report that the recent India-UK Free Trade Pact could allow people in both countries to use each other's fast payment systems, enabling quick money transfers via QR code payments. This could ease the process of remittances from the UK, India's third largest source. Indian travellers to the UK will be able to make payments using their UPI account from their phone without needing to carry pounds sterling. And finally, Chinese tourists may now be able to come back to India, but Ishan Gera shows in our data story of the day that tourist arrivals from Southeast Asia have been declining since the COVID pandemic, a downward trend that reflects a deeper worry for Indian tourism. That's all for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you have any feedback or topics you'd like to discuss, feel free to reach out to us. Until then, stay informed and stay ahead with Money Control.